Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I am Bertie Brits, and it's a privilege for me to bring the message of God's grace right from His heart towards you. You know, as I just greet you, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians, where Paul greeted the Corinthians, and they were people that they were in sin. They were in adultery. They were worshipping false gods every now and then. They were in all types of sin, and Paul greeted them in the name of Jesus, saying, "Grace and peace to you from God and from Jesus Christ and God our Father." So isn't that awesome? People that has been sinners, God greets them and say, Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, a word from God, grace to you, peace to you. Amen. So it doesn't matter what you've done. If you're watching this today, I say to you, from God, grace. From God, peace. From God, blessing. From God, forgiveness. From God, unconditional love towards all of you. And may that just build your dignity and worth, because you are worthy of the Christ, for He paid with His own blood for you. So your worth is determined by what somebody is prepared to pay for you. You are worthy of Jesus Christ. And when you sit down and you watch this session, just let all condemnation, let all judgment, let all of the things that is just against you fall away from you. For God is not against you. God is for you. Amen. God is against this religious system that brings death into your life. Because God is for you, that's why God is for the message of grace. The only thing that can bring a sinner to repentance is the message of grace. Hallelujah. Now, I want to encourage you in this way, because maybe you might say, man, I've been listening to the grace of God for quite a while now, or for 6 months or something, and I don't see this major change in my life. I do feel better, but my situation is not really changing. The grace of God and the gospel is not a quick fix to anything. And you might say, oh, Bertie, that sounds as if it's, you know, this long thing, and how will we ever get out of the situation we are in? Now, the answer is written down in Romans chapter 8, or Romans chapter 12. I want to just read it to you quickly. Now, this is going to bless you, and I want to encourage you, because so many times we get tired waiting for the manifestation of what has happened upon the cross. But we shouldn't be tired, because while we are waiting, we are feeling the love of God in our spirit. We are feeling the peace of God in our minds. And then we will also see the outcome as well. And this is what it says in Romans chapter 1 verse 12. It says, "I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, which is the law system, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So transformation and change takes place by the renewal of your mind, which is the word repentance. Repentance, I'm not talking about repenting from sin. I'm talking about repenting from a legalistic mindset. As you find the good news coming into your heart, you find that belief system changing, you will see peace is the first thing that I've experienced coming into your heart, knowing that the good thing will happen. It's like a businessman asked me, says, "Bertie, you know, this deal, is it going to come through or not? What does God say?" And what's really in my heart and what I told him was, it doesn't matter if it comes through or not. At the end of the day, you're always going to be blessed and prosperous because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Just put your faith in the cross. And the best that could ever happen to you will happen to you. Remember that faith is never towards stuff. You don't faith for, you faith in. You don't believe for, you believe in someone. And then you expect out of your belief something. So let's work on our belief, on what we believe about God. So when we read the Bible, we need to be in the message of grace, because the message of grace brings forth God for who He truly is. This message of going through hard times because God's going to purify you and all those type of things doesn't bring out who God truly is. It brings out something about God that is a lie. It's not who He is. If you think God uses hard times to purify you, let me tell you something, you are deceived. And you are not walking in the true light. And what you believe will burn away one day. When you see Jesus for who He truly is, you will say, oh man, I didn't believe the right thing about you. Sorry, Lord. And that's it. And then you'll continue. Amen. So, now let's quickly go to Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3. And before I read that, I want to say this. The only message in the Bible that will establish the nature of God in you is the message of grace. And anybody and any person, I don't care who it is, that preaches a different message is actually wasting his time. He is wasting his time. His work means nothing in the kingdom of God. It brings people under law. It brings people under bondage. And people one day will have to repent of that and receive the message of grace. Now you might say, Bertie, but by saying this, you are just promoting yourself because you're a grace preacher. No, I'm not trying to promote myself. I'm just reading what the Scripture says about grace and what Paul says about grace, which we're going to read now. And realize that for me to do anything but the grace of God will be a waste to myself as well. I will just be wasting my time. I will not be leading people into a true relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, so many times people believe they must have a greater relationship with the church and with the activities around the church to fulfill the vision of maybe the pastor so that God can approve of them. They believe that that is the greatest work. They never get to who God really is. They've got a better relationship with the work of God than with the God of the work. Now let me tell you, works flow out of a good relationship with God. Never think that works produces a good relationship with God. It doesn't. A relationship is built when you sit down, chat together, and from that relationship do stuff also together. So never think that works is the prerequisite for blessing. It's like somebody else said to me the other day. They said to me, you know, Bertie, I've listened to a sermon and it was so wonderful. This man preached and he spoke about disciplining your children in the correct way and all of that. And he said, if we don't have discipline at our house, how can God ever bless us? You know, and that, I heard her excitement saying, you know, our house must be in order. But what I also heard was that she will never be blessed. Now, it's good for her because her children is not at home anymore. I mean, they've grown up out of the house and all of that. But what about us who's got small children? And I tell you, to train up a child when it comes to discipline, all those type of things, is not always easy. Some days you do it right, some days you lose your temper, you shout at the child, you've done it wrong, now how can God bless you? All of a sudden, in that way of thinking, and I'm just using this as an example, training your child in the correct way became the prerequisite for blessing. It's not the truth. God blesses everybody. That if you can just believe it, it will manifest in your life. Romans 4 says that we should believe in the God that justifies the ungodly. The person who believes that God justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. But the person that believes God justifies the godly, his faith is not reckoned as righteousness because it's of works. So if you say God only blesses those who work right, only those, I mean, it's not, your faith is not reckoned for righteousness. For the Bible clearly says that those who believe that God justifies the ungodly, their faith is reckoned righteousness unto them. Amen. Because they see the work of Jesus Christ. So, people, never put something in front of you that you think you must do in order to be approved of God, except believing on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. By faith, we've got access into the influence that God has in our hearts through the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The other day, I preached at a church, and I just preached the message of grace. So a lady came to me, and she said to me, Barry, that, you know, that sounds too good to be true. Does that mean I can just do whatever I want? So I said to her, yes. She said to me, man, you know, it was as if she wanted to say, how can it be? It's too good to be true. What if people just want to sin? You can't say this because people just would like to sin. So I asked her, now, what do you want to do? You can do just whatever you want. What do you want to do? She says, no, I want to sing for the Lord. So I said to her, so go and do it. You know, the moment I told you can do whatever you want, grace is with you, God's influential power is upon you, you wanted to do something for God. Because grace produces righteousness in the lives of people. It does not produce sin. Amen. And remember that scripture that we read in Jude, that there are people that make the grace of God sin. So never think that the message of grace is a message of sin. So never let people teach you that the message of grace is a message of sin. That's actually what I want to say. And then there is a place in Peter where Peter says, never use the message of righteousness or the message of grace just as a cloak to go and sin. Because there are people that can do it that way. But I tell you, I don't know of such a person. Maybe one or two in my life that I've met. But it's so rare. You will find so many more people jumping into, thank God, I've been released from this power of sin that held me down. I'm free from the power of sin so that I can really walk in freedom in righteousness. Amen. Remember, the message of grace sets you free from the power of sin. So we will not walk with a desire to do wrong anymore. You know, and even if you do wrong, you've got an advocate with the Father. So don't even worry about that. Because forgiveness has come to you. Just meditate upon the message of grace. So the more people sin, the more I preach the grace of God. And I see that in the life of Paul. That's exactly what he did. The church in Corinth that was in sin, he greeted them, grace and peace unto you. Because they were sinners. They sinned. Well, they were the church, but they also had sin in their life as Christians. And where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So let's preach the grace of God and we'll find people being set free from the bondage of sin. Now let's quickly get into 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, that is an awesome scripture. Paul said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So, the foundation of the church was laid according to grace. According to grace, as a master builder, I've laid the foundation. So, the foundation of the church is the message of grace. That's it. And everybody that builds upon it should build with the same stones he used, which was grace. The foundation is grace. The walls, everything is grace. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're just going to look a little bit deeper into that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Listen to this. Let's read from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you with. Now, what does he say here? He says, to me was given the dispensation of grace for you. That word dispensation also means the government or the way you rule a house or to give for free. You know, to just deal out, to just give to people. So what Paul actually was saying, he says, have you heard of the dispensation or this ministration of grace that was from God given to me for you? So Paul said that grace was given to him to give to people. Now let's quickly go there to 1 Corinthians again and let's look at that scripture again. It says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. So Paul said, according to grace, he laid the foundation. According to that dispensation, that ministration of grace, he laid the foundation. And the important thing, this is what I want to say for every preacher that's listening to me, for every home cell leader that's listening to me, and every other person that's just reading the Bible, and really got a love for the Word of God. Whenever you build upon Jesus Christ, you must watch how you build. Now, let's look at what Paul says in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, if you build upon the foundation, what was this foundation? This foundation was not works, it was a doctrine. The doctrine of grace of Jesus Christ. That was that doctrine. Now, if anybody builds upon that. So, say Paul came and he laid down the foundation of grace. And now you want to build upon that when it comes to marriage. When you want to build upon that when it comes to deliverance. When you want to build upon that when it comes to curses or blessings. When you want to build upon that when it comes to finances. You must watch how you build. You can either build with gold, silver, or precious stones, hay, wood, or stubble. So, or wood, hay, and stubble. So that's what you can build with. And then it says, when the day comes, when the return of the Lord, now that's how I understand that scripture, or the judgment day, as the commentaries say that, when that day comes, what you've done will be revealed if it was in grace or not. That's it. The glory of God, the goodness of God. The Bible says, and we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. And the glory of God is the fire of God. The fire of God, the goodness of God will test as if that thing that you preached was goodness, good news, grace, mercy, unconditional love or not. If it was not grace, mercy and unconditional love, you have worked in vain. And that's what that scripture is actually teaching us. It will burn away, but you will be saved. So, you will be saved because of the goodness of God, because you believed on Jesus Christ. Then you went, you preached a message of works. Now, we're going to go a little bit into typology so that I can explain this to you. Gold speaks of divinity. Silver speaks of redemption. And the precious stone speaks of the church. So, when you build upon the foundation Jesus Christ, you must build with the message of the divine or the godly redemption of the church. So, if you teach concerning finances, you must teach people you have been redeemed already from poverty by Jesus Christ, and only by faith in Christ can you prosper. No other way. Not the works of the flesh or the works of man. Only by Christ can you prosper. If you speak about, say, forefather curses, all of that. You must speak of the divine redemption of the church. That's what you must believe. You must say, even if I've experienced a curse in my life today, I am divinely redeemed. I am divinely set free from this curse because of Jesus Christ. I am part of the church. I've been divinely redeemed by God. God has redeemed me. It must not be a message of how you can redeem yourself. And then you get wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, speaking of many things, it's the same Greek word as that is used where the feet of Paul was in the stocks, where he was bound in jail. Okay, so it's a teaching of bondage, or wood also speaks of human flesh, human effort. So it should always be a teaching of the divine redemption of the church, not the human redemption of yourself. So, not a teaching of bondage, a teaching that keeps you down. And then, hay means a feeding enclosure, a place where they would grow grass, especially just for cattle to come and graze there. So, it's a feeding enclosure. Only here can you get food, and that's all. That type of teaching is going to fall away. It's going to burn away. And stubble, you know, is everything but the seed, everything but the word of God's grace. Any other word is going to burn away one day. And you're going to suffer loss. That's what that word says. So, Paul says, according to grace, as a wise master builder, have I laid the foundation. According to grace, which is Jesus Christ, I brought this whole teaching to you. And whatsoever you believe on top of that, should be on that foundation. If you are not building on grace, you are building. Your building cannot stand. It's like Jesus said, those who build upon the rock, their house will stand. But those who build upon the sand, their house will not stand. You can build the nicest doctrine upon sand, and It's going to fall. Build from the perspective of grace. Now, if you build on a foundation, that foundation carries everything you build upon it. So, grace must be able to carry what you say. It must be founded in grace. If it's not founded in grace, you are wasting your time. Let's read it. If a man's work, verse 15, if a man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now listen, you are holy already. Let no teaching come and defile you, telling you you are not holy, and giving you the three or four things you must do in order to get holy. You are the temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells. That is an absolute holy place. Think of the Old Testament temple. Everything was covered with gold. It was perfectly clean. It was 100% according to Scripture. And then when everything was perfected, then the cloud came into that temple, or onto the temple, into the most holy place, and there God dwelled. That's where He spoke to the priests and everything. Now, for the Spirit of God to dwell in you, you need to have the same perfection portrayed by the Old Testament temple. Not by your works, but you have been washed by the blood of Christ and been made holy by Him to the point that the Spirit of God dwells in you so that we cannot find fault with you. You've been perfected by the Lamb once and forever. And let nobody defile you, telling you, you know, you've got this wrong in your life, you've got that wrong in your life, you've got that wrong in your life. No. The only thing that there could ever be wrong is you not believing how right you are. That's it. The only thing that can ever be wrong is you not believing how holy you are and getting under a teaching that is hay, wood and stubble, which is the works of the law. Because it continues and it says, it speaks about the wisdom of this world, which is the law. Man's knowledge on what he must do in order to be blessed of God is called the wisdom of this world. So, the wisdom of this world, the wise in this world must be made foolish in front of Christ. In other words, they must say, it's not as what I thought by my works. It's only by grace. Now remember, Paul was given the dispensation of grace, and out of that dispensation of grace, he ministered unto you. And we can also see that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. He says here, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is dispensation of grace, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So what does Paul say in Colossians 1 verse 25? He says, according to the dispensation of grace, which was given unto him to preach unto us to fulfill the word of God. So Paul was ministering grace so that the fulfillment of the word could come into us. Hallelujah. So if you want the Word of God to be fulfilled in your life, continue to study, meditate, think upon the grace of God, and run from anything that's not that. Amen. Man, isn't God good? God is an absolute God of love. Remember the Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes on Him might not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that good? He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, so that we who believe can be saved. It's only by Jesus. It's only by grace. Anybody, anything else, that's, if it's not by grace, it's not of God. Like these teachings that say, by honoring Israel, we're going to be saved. Now that's what I call a lot of nonsense. It's not the truth. It's not of God. Since when has honoring a nation became the savior of the church? It's not the truth. And one day I thank God that we will all stand before God, and those people that spent the millions of rands and dollars in proclaiming that type of message will just say, my God, all of this work has been a waste. It's not, they will be saved. But what they've done was just a waste, and they will receive no reward, although they think they are working for a reward. But those who believed on grace, which says, only by one man and by what he's done, I am saved and perfected forever, according to Hebrews. Those people and those who proclaim that, they will receive reward. Isn't that wonderful? Man, God bless you. God love you. Just send your praise report to the number on your screen. Make use of our ministry material. Send us an SMS or an email. We will send you a list of products available. God loves you, man. Walk in the grace of God. Father, I thank you that every person is blessed and stays in your grace. Amen.